Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, October 21st, 2013. Hope you had a great weekend. We are live each weekday, 12:04 to 1, right here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And you can hear the programs anytime, anywhere in the world by visiting buckmastershow.com. Also, the tucsonsentinel.com has the program, and the podcast also is up at tucsoncitizen.com. During the noon hour, the Monday Political Face-Off features our teams of commentators. Today's team, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll talk about a new recycling campaign underway. It's called BYO Bag Tucson. And we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes, head of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. If you have a comment or question, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. And we invite you to join us on Facebook as we push toward 3,000 friends of the Buckmaster Show. I think we're only now about 50-some shy of that goal. Every Monday on the Buckmaster Show, we kick off things with the Monday Political Face-Off. This week, Bruce Ash is with us, Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Is this your second term now, Bruce?
Third.
Oh, it's third term. Each term being 3 years?
No, they're four-year terms, and I served the remainder of Randy Pullen's term when he resigned and became state party chairman.
Okay. And Paul Eckerstrom, local, state, and local chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Are you the current vice chair now?
Or no, I'm
you're
just
not an official member. I mean, just, you're still a member,
yeah,
but you're not an officer this point.
I'm just taking a little retirement from that.
The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Gentlemen, did you have a great weekend? Probably not as good as my weekend.
It would be hard to top yours, Bill, but we did have a nail-biter Saturday night at U of A Stadium with
true.
The Wildcats coming out on top of the Utes, and looking forward to this game in the upcoming Saturday. Should be a good one against the University of Colorado.
We do have a quarterback after all.
Well, we do
have a running back.
We do have a heck of a running back, and he would have had probably about another 80 yards, making almost 320 yards rushing had they counted the one touchdown they called back, which nobody in the stadium saw except for the one referee, I think.
Yeah.
How about you, Paul?
Well, I drained my pool and was painting my pool, and never do it yourself. That's my advice today. Get somebody professional to do it.
I thought you were a lot smarter than that.
Yeah, well.
Jeez.
I should have been.
You show me nothing.
Yeah, I had a great time up on Vancouver Island. You couldn't ask for probably the best time of the year to be up there. The leaves were at their absolute peak. My wife, Ann, celebrating her birthday. What a great place to celebrate her birthday. Of course, we went shopping at the Bay Store, Hudson Bay Store. That's one of her favorite stores. Got her a nice winter coat, which probably she couldn't get here in Tucson. The supplies are rather limited. Anyway, it was a great time. And while we were away, the government reopened again, didn't it?
It did,
yes.
Yeah. And now we got kind of the blame game going on. Who was at fault? We had Senator Cruz defending what went on as a valuable weapon in a tactical war. Would you agree with that, Bruce Ash?
Well, this part of the debate is over and we're on to the next. And I think probably it would be best for the Republican Party to take a more incremental approach to this and you know, begin to build some victories. That's what the Democrats have typically done over the years and probably is some good advice for the Republicans at this time. A lot of people in the press and political pundits want to make the most of all of the disarray within the Republican Party. Really, you know, there's almost unanimity amongst all Republicans that Obamacare is not a very good thing, and that budget control is necessary, and that spending is out of control. I think what we lack a cohesive plan on is how we end up fighting that, and, mm-hmm. and how we end up making points. But there's no disarray within the Republican Party as to all of the things that are bad with Obamacare and all the problems with the national budget.
So everybody's on the same page against Obamacare.
Well, I
pretty
think.
Much.
Look,
and
I think
that's something for you to build on.
Look, I've watched all kinds of clips from yesterday's Sunday talk shows, as well as most of the talk shows today, and watch MSNBC, watch CNBC, watch CNN. Not exactly even Al Jazeera, for crying out loud. Not exactly Republican friendly, and all of them are just squealing about all the problems with the website, and are questioning why the government doesn't seem to be able to define how many people have actually bought insurance policies under the exchanges yet. And, you know, I don't think the website is that screwed up where they can't do that. And believe me, if they had sold a bunch of them, we'd know about it. They'd be proclaiming it from every mountaintop.
Paul Eckerstrom, in your opinion, this what went on last week and of those 3 weeks cost – well, first of all, it cost this government a lot of money.
$29 billion.
Mm. It did not help the Republican brand, in your opinion.
No, and frankly, you know, it probably cost the country, at least what economists say, at least a half a point in gross national product growth. And it was totally unnecessary. Look, the Republicans control the House of Representatives, and the Tea Party controls their caucus in the House of Representatives. A very small minority of folks held our government hostage to try to push an agenda that they had no way of winning and creating a mess. And I think people are going to remember this come next election. And I think by the time the next election comes around, now that Obamacare has been implemented – by the way, I don't understand why the Republicans are unanimity against it, because it was their idea back in the 90s in the first place.
Oh, you're saying with the Heritage Institute?
Yeah, the Heritage Foundation and a lot of folks, including Mitt Romney, who implemented it in Massachusetts, and it works fairly well in Massachusetts, saved money. And the other thing is I hope we come away from this into the appropriation and budget negotiations that this will never be used again. And I don't think the Republicans – I would hope the Republicans aren't that stupid that they would try to do this again in January, late January and February. But one thing I do want to see is the president step up and start putting some things he wants on the table in these negotiations, not to let the Republicans, because of what happened, frame the negotiations. Remember, our deficit – a yearly deficit is half of what it was when Obama – took office. Mm-hmm. So that it is coming down. And I think what we need to do is, you know, prioritize to get close it even more, but prioritize it in the right type of spending. And President Obama has an obligation for us people who support him to prioritize some of that spending and in things like infrastructure, help jobs, create jobs, things of that nature. And that's how I hope the president does over the next few months, is really step up and be involved in those negotiations. You know, that's, I think, very important in the next few months to finally come to a budget that everybody gives a little bit. But remember, the Republicans should give more than the Democrats, because the Democrats control the Senate, they control the presidency, and they would control the Congress if districts hadn't been gerrymandered so bad. Well, more people voted for Democrats in the House of Representative races than Republicans in the last election.
That's not how it works, Paul.
Bruce Ash, this Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care, was it born out of Republican ideas?
I'm not even going to go there, Bill.
Okay.
Paul keeps pressing this point, and some of his friends
it's market-based,
say the
and it
same
was a
thing.
Republican idea.
It's not market-based because healthcare as a whole has not been free market-based in many, many years. Look, I agree with Paul. I mean, let's talk about the things that we agree with.
What do you agree with them on?
I agree with Paul that we need to get together on the budget. There has to be limitations on how much money we spend. And since approximately 65% of everything we spend is non-discretionary, meaning the debt, Social Security, Medicare, VA, Medicaid, and the like. We have to look at how we frame the entitlements that Americans are going to get now and forever in terms of what we can do on this budget. Secondly, on jobs, I implore the president to please do something positive for jobs. I'm going to say something that's really, really radical here.
What's that?
And I'm going to tell you that this country would be able to fund Obamacare and would be able to fund all kinds of social programs that Paul and many of his friends like if the full force of the economy could be unleashed. Because there is so much regulation on the energy business, on the financial services business. There are incredible regulations that exist within the insurance industry. I mean, you name it. There's not anything, hardly, that the government doesn't touch. And the ability to be able to unleash this economy, we'd be able to pay for all these things because even if we had a lower tax structure, we find every time incremental tax rates go down, revenues to the government go up.
And all right.
Let me put one other thing on the table that the president should put on the negotiating table. Have a vote on the immigration bill.
Okay.
Have a vote on the floor in the House on the immigration bill because there's enough votes to pass it with some of the Republicans and the Democratic caucus.
Let's go to Christopher on the Buckmaster Show live line. Go ahead, Christopher.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, my question to you, Paul, is can you put aside whether or not this is a Romney initiative or a Heritage Foundation initiative, the health care law, but admit that it's not working? So my point is that it doesn't matter who's offered it historically, whether it be Republicans or Democrats. Can you admit that this is not working?
No, I'm not going to admit that because, one, it hasn't been fully implemented yet. It's just now being implemented. And the other thing is understand that it's been used as a smaller economy of scale in Massachusetts, and it's worked there. It has worked there. More people are covered in Massachusetts, and it's driven down costs in Massachusetts for healthcare.
Can you explain to me, though, where in states it's driving up premiums up by 250%, 300%?
You know, it hasn't
How do you explain that?
It hasn't been implemented yet. Not everybody's on the rolls yet. I mean, give this time. Look at what it's like in 5 years. And you know, I'll tell you, this isn't my favorite piece of legislation because I wanted national health insurance. I think that works better in the context of what healthcare is, which isn't really market based. And yes, you know, is it as efficient as national health insurance? I don't think it is, but it's more efficient than what we had. And it is a Republican idea. That's why I didn't like it in the first place.
You like single payer.
I like single payer national health insurance. Medicare for all.
Medicare.
Everybody pays in and everybody gets basic health care back.
All right, why don't we take a break right here? This is the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off. That was Paul Eckerstrom. Bruce Ash is here as well. We will return right after this on the Buckmaster Monday edition.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Under the glowing glass of brilliant light, experience UA Biosphere 2 Discovery Nights. For the first time ever, premiering the wonders of Biosphere 2 at night with extended hours. Beginning Saturday, September 28th, join us for five straight Saturday nights for an exciting family adventure with activities that promote curiosity and creativity. Receive a free annual pass with nighttime adult admission. Kids 12 and under are free. Limit two per adult. Visit b2science.org for more event details.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. There is no question, if you need any kind of framing, first of all, he's got a fantastic, Moe has a great selection, and the work itself is just so high quality, it's unbelievable. Anyway, the Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's. Thank you, Moe, for your support. Paul Eckerstrom is with us, and Bruce Ash. Bruce, before the break, we didn't give you a chance to respond to Mr. Eckerstrom.
Well, just a couple of words. The president, when he sold Obamacare to the nation, and by the way, he only sold it to the Democrats in both houses of Congress. Republicans were united in their disapproval of Obamacare. But he said that premiums would go down. He said that you could keep your doctor. And he said that the 15% of Americans who weren't covered would be covered. Mm-hmm. Well, government agencies as well as private think tanks are seeing that the 40 million, there's approximately 40 million people in America today that are uncovered by health insurance. By the year 2020, there'll still be about 40 million people that are uncovered by health coverage. There's a big difference between coverage and receiving care. And that's one of the other things about Obamacare that I think is very frightening to myself and should be of concern to America, because there's a big difference between being seen by a doctor and being seen by an LPN or a nurse practitioner, a physician.
You're talking about the quality and level of care.
The quality and level of care is going to be far different. And Obamacare has been rushed into effect. And, you know, it takes a while for medical schools and other educational institutions to catch up with it. And already people are seeing some pretty extraordinary premium increases with a lot less coverage than what they had mm-hmm. before. Mm-hmm. Look, we could have, and these are Republican principles, we could have done far better for the American public with their health care by creating not coverage, but creating care that emphasized portability, mm-hmm. From being able to move your coverage from one employer to another, which also would have reduced the problem with pre-existing illnesses. We could have done much better with interstate commerce, interstate competition for insurance, which we haven't had. And even now with these insurance exchanges under Obamacare, there unfortunately is so much governmental regulation. We've spent $650 million on a website that doesn't work.
Yeah.
This is just a characteristic and a flaw within the system.
Let's go to Richard. Richard is going to be up next on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, and Richard has some personal experience about how Obamacare has already affected his life. Richard, tell us about it. Thank you. Hi, Richard. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, Bill. Mm-hmm. On Obamacare, I received a letter from Blue Cross. I've been with them for 20 years. They said that because I made a change to my policy after 2010, I'm no longer grandfathered into their preferred care, that I will, after 2014, I'll be dumped to the exchanges. Now, they're going to cover me this one more year, but with a 19% rate increase. Then, from what I gather and what I've seen, when I go to the exchanges, which are going to amount to an HMO, my rates are more than double, unless I pursue a welfare subsidy, because if my income is below $40,000 or something like that, and by the way, I am pretty poor these days, but I'm hoping to get wealthier, then if I keep my income low enough, I'll get this welfare subsidy. And so I don't want the welfare subsidy. I want to make some more money. But what's the incentive? You know, not only have they taken my policy, they've taken my doctor for 20 years, he won't be on the list. Mm. But now they want me to go on welfare and not go out and make a living any longer. And not only that, my care is going to be horrible. So when I call the doctor, by the way, people, there won't be a doctor to see for like 8 weeks. So wow. We'll all be over at urgent care. Bruce, I can't wait for the next Republican to run for office. I voted for Barack Obama twice. I'll never vote for a Democrat again.
Okay, thank you.
Well, let me respond to that. One, I don't think we have seen the actual impact of Obamacare. And I'm on the record as saying I don't think it's a perfect system. I think it's better than what we have because, frankly, what's been happening prior to this, mm-hmm. and we haven't even – doesn't even go into effect till January, is you're seeing insurance companies doing what they always do, which is keep throwing people off the rolls. If you – 8 weeks, I mean, that's what it takes to get into a doctor these days, and that's the HMOs, the private industry, doing that to you. It's not government doing that to you. It's been going on for a long time, and that's why
you're saying this is nothing new.
Yeah, but this is why we needed some sort of intervention into our healthcare system, which is much more expensive than any other countries, and we don't get as good a care. Now, I will go on the record as saying, mm-hmm. again, I think it's much more efficient if we did Medicare for all, and actually did that. You know what that also does? It decouples insurance from our employers. The employers, who like GM, can compete a little bit better if their cars are being made without having to pay health care benefits for their employees.
Well, this all is right.
So we're more competitive with countries who make cars who provide health care for their people.
This is the good news for Paul. You know, a lot of my colleagues in the Republican Party refer to Barack Obama as a socialist. He's really not.
No, he's not even close.
He's a corporatist. He's a fascist.
And
no,
what?
And
fascist?
Paul,
really?
Paul, in the Benito Mussolini sense, he is a corporatist. He's a statist. And that's the definition of a fascist. At the end of the day, this Obamacare was an insurance bill, okay? And he's lulled the insurance companies into this program. they are going to make big profits for the next several years doing exactly the sort of thing that Richard was talking about. At the end of the day, though,
which they've been doing to us for 20, 30 years.
At the end of the day, the ultimate result of this will be your single-payer system, because that's exactly where the president wants it to go. That's exactly where Harry Reid wants it to go. That's exactly where Nancy Pelosi wants
it to go.
All right.
Bruce Ash, who says President Obama is following, and to get this right, the Mussolini model.
He is a corporatist. He's a statist.
All right. Gentlemen, thank you very much. It's always fun to start the Monday with you guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill.
Paul and Bruce. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Moe, thank you for your support. Let's take a break. Let's take a break right here. It's the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police in Sparks, Nevada say two people were killed in a school shooting this morning. One was a staff member, the other a student who was likely the attacker. Two other students are critically injured in the violence that erupted before classes began. France is joining a growing list of U.S. allies demanding answers from Washington over aggressive surveillance tactics by the National Security Agency. Christians living in Egypt have been stunned by a drive-by shooting over the weekend. Masked gunmen sprayed a wedding party outside a church in Cairo with automatic weapons fire. Four people killed, including two young girls, all members of the same family. Thousands turned out today for the funerals. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 16 points. The NASDAQ is unchanged. The S&P trading 2 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small, mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is 12:34 on this Monday afternoon. Hope you're having a great day, a good start to the week. There is a new effort in town to encourage Tucson area residents to increase the use of reusable shopping bags, thus decreasing the use of those ever-present disposable plastic bags that seem to be on every corner and every vacant lot in town. Joining me in studio is Catherine Kent. Catherine is chair of the what is being called BYO Bag Tucson campaign. Catherine, how are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm doing very well, and thank you for asking. I think everyone knows, driving down any Tucson street, that probably within 5 to 10 minutes you're going to see some plastic bags.
Oh, and you know when we have our winds, and which we do have, they're hanging from the fences and saguaros, and you know, it's always been a blight to our community. But since I've gotten involved in this campaign, I'm realizing all the other issues that the single-use plastic bags causes for our community as well as the planet.
Tell me some of the things you found out.
Well, there is the, you know, the no matter what we try to think and do about plastic, this stuff doesn't seem to really want to decompose into carbon and oxygen.
What happens to it? The little pieces
of the very small pieces, the sun will continue to break down the carbon-carbon bonds, but the little pieces will start floating around. You know, wildlife and especially marine life sees it as fish. Mm-hmm. Or something to eat. And then we've got the, if you go hear about the Pacific gyre and the Atlantic gyre, an area as big as the state of Texas is floating in the ocean just full of this. I mean, you can just net it up, and it's just not going away. Mm. It's just, it's here, and we've got to find a way to reduce the use of these plastic bags.
Now, the city council, are they considering action about this, or have they taken any kind of action?
Interesting question, Bill. The city council actually originally took action in 2009, mm-hmm. and established the first ordinance, which requires all of the retailers that have over 25% of their revenue mm-hmm. coming from groceries that have spaces that are more than 10,000 square feet were required to set up recycling stations. And I think everyone knows if you walk right in the grocery store somewhere, there should be a place for you to put your recycled bags.
Yeah.
So last year.
I mean,
that's
a start.
Yes, that is a start. Last year, Paul Cunningham brought it back up to mayor and council to review this. We had a working group that worked for 8 months evaluating the opportunities and the options. And what resulted out of that is that all of these grocery stores that were involved in the first ordinance are now going to start reporting how much of recycling that they're taking back and how many bags they're distributing.
So what this campaign will be encouraging folks, obviously, to bring a reusable bag.
Start thinking about reusing it.
I will tell you, Catherine, I'm seeing more and more folks. We went grocery shopping yesterday. I see more and more people who do bring a bag with them, which is great.
You know, Southern Arizona has been such an environmental community that, you know, when we talked and we've done surveys and everybody wants to do it, pretty much everybody wants to do it. It's just that we forget. And, you know, I always think of, you know, you've gone through the store, you've done all your hunting and gathering, your buggy is full, and the last thing you want to do is having to run out, go and get your reusable bags. So we're asking the retailers to put up signs in the parking lots mm-hmm. that say, hey, you know, we've got the billboards around town, just another way to remind ourselves, And what I like to suggest to people is that as soon as you empty your reusable bags when you've gone to the grocery store or you've gone to the Home Depot or whatever, take that bag and put it back in your car. When you're going grocery shopping, I keep mine in the trunk. Go open them up from the trunk when you have your list and your coupons, then put them in the front seat, and you've got them all together, so when you go off in the store, you're ready to hand them off.
Catherine Kent is with us. She's the chair of the BYO Bag Tucson campaign. She's also with the Solar Store in Tucson. So you're obviously an environmentally conscious person. I mean,
yes,
you care about
this.
Is that why you got involved with this?
Actually, my appointment to the working group was because I am the chair of the Small Minority and Women-Owned Business Commission.
Oh.
They were making sure that the working group had a very diverse representation. The Alliance of the Arizona Food Marketers Alliance, the Retailers Association, Sierra Club, and so there were all of these groups represented, and I was representing the small business.
I'm going to have you slip your headset on there, Catherine, so we can listen to caller Chris to the Buckmaster Show on our live line. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Doing well. Go ahead.
Good. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Catherine, you made a quick leap there from plastic to bring your own bag, which I kind of resent. You're going to tell me how to behave, and you didn't do much talk about paper bags. And recently I was in Seattle where – even though the people wouldn't vote in the bring your own bag thing, the city council there decided to do it anyway in the city limits. And then they started charging, if you don't bring your own bag, they started charging a nickel a bag. And of course that's went up to a dime, and I'm sure next year it'll be a quarter. And so if I don't want to bring one of those stinky bad hygiene bags, which sometimes are really gross, and I want to get a paper bag, what's wrong with that?
Okay.
Oh, there's absolutely nothing wrong with bringing paper bags. You can bring your own bag.
Yeah.
That's the point. Well, it's just and a paper bag, they are much more reusable than the single-use plastic bags. So it's if you want to bring paper, then bring paper.
Mm-hmm. Whatever works for you. This is to kind of move away from plastic. So
yeah, it's the plastic bag and the fact that, you know, the city of Tucson, the stores within the city of Tucson that are included in the ordinance distributed close to 35 million bags last quarter. Last quarter, 35 million bags here in the city of Tucson. So it doesn't take a lot of effort for us to just remember to bring our paper bag or to bring a reusable bag that we can get from vendors at the home shows or whatever events, and just keeping and try to eliminate using single-use plastic bags, which generally only have a usable lifetime of 12 minutes.
Yeah, so if you're going to the market and you would like to bring three or four brown paper bags or whatever color, that's fine.
That's absolutely fine.
Rose, can we work in one more? Okay, this is Ingrid with us. Ingrid, quick suggestion or comment, please.
Okay, you could use your small plastic bags for household garbage, transporting disposable diapers, as barf bags, pooper scoopers, transporting library books in the rain, for storage, and transporting potluck foods in your car if you're afraid they're going to spill over. And furthermore, when you see somebody littering, even if it's a sanitation truck, fine that person or company.
Okay, thank you, Ingrid.
Hello, Ingrid. It's good to hear from you.
All right. Ingrid had some interesting suggestions there, Catherine.
Oh, yeah. And it's just whatever you can do to make it work for you is the important thing. Just finding a way to reduce the use of and try to use the resources that we have as much as we can.
All right. Catherine Kent from the Solar Store and chair of the BYO Bag Tucson campaign. Do you have a website that you want to direct people to?
Oh, yes. It's byobagtucson.org. .com. I'm sorry about that. There's also going to be a free showing of Bag It, which is a movie that's put together at the Loft. That'll be 9 a.m. on Saturday at the Loft, a free showing of the movie to find out more about the the long-term and what's happening with the plastic bags in our community right now.
Thank you very much, Catherine.
All right.
All right. Coming up now on 1244 on The Buckmaster Show, Dr. Mark Sykes is next from Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. We'll talk with Dr. Sykes as we continue with the Monday edition of The Buckmaster Show.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Mark Sykes is with us. Dr. Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating now into its 41st year as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system.
Dr. Sykes, still chairing the Small Bodies Assessment Group?
Past chair.
Past chair. I need to change my intro for you. You are now the past chair, but still quite influential with the Small Bodies Assessment Group. Dr. Sykes, always good to see you. Mark, how have you been?
Just great. Glad to be back.
And I'm sure that because of the Planetary Science Institute's very close relationship with NASA and the federal government, you are very happy that the shutdown is over.
Yes, I am. 97% of NASA was shut down during that period of time. Fortunately, we were able to take steps at PSI to make sure we had enough cash on hand to see us through the entire month of October and well into November if need be. And but of course, if they'd broken the debt ceiling, who knows what would have happened then. So and a lot of the missions that we're involved with were, you know, continued operation. It'd be kind of hard to say stop. And you have to
keep
monitoring.
Well, they almost stopped one, I believe, a Mars mission.
Yeah, they're
scheduled for launch next month.
Yeah, MAVEN is launching November 18th, and they initially shut that down. It's down at Kennedy being prepared for launch. And then I think somebody realized that if they'd missed the launch window, they're going to have to wait 2 years before Mars was in the right position.
Yeah,
to launch
not a good
it again.
Idea to put that one on the inactive list.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It would be inactive for a long time. What's MAVEN, by the way? What's that mission to Mars about?
It's to study the Martian atmosphere. And so they'll be doing some spectroscopic analyses and other analyses of the Martian atmosphere, you know, its composition, its seasonal variations, all that good stuff.
Hey, what was this about Juno, J-U-N-O?
Yes, Juno.
Close flyby?
Right. It's pretty tough to just send a spacecraft straight from the Earth to Jupiter because it's so far away. And so we do little tricks, such as we send spacecraft into a lower orbit but have it come back by the Earth, and the Earth kind of performs a slingshot on it and gives a little more oomph to get to the outer part of the solar system. And so this is the kind of maneuver that Juno was going into. Juno's going to go to Jupiter and explore its interior, its atmosphere, its polar regions. And so it flew within about 350 miles or so of the Earth's surface on the 10th of October, and you could see it if you had a small telescope and you were living in South Africa or mm-hmm. South Asia. So it went into Earth's shadow, but then when it came out, it was in safe mode, and that scared everybody.
So it's on its way to Jupiter.
It's on its way to Jupiter, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's in fine condition.
I guess that's kind of like when you're waiting to take off, you know, you're – flight attendants, we are ready for takeoff. We're next. And you see that they kind of get a little running start by kind of getting the engines all revved up and then taking the turn and getting a little bit of a push that way.
Yeah, it helps to you know, skid the wheels on the way to Jupiter.
So Juno on its way. What's going on with Mars? Any this... what about the Mars meteorites?
Well, MSL has been continuing to work, of course.
MSL.
And, the Mars Science Laboratory, otherwise known as Curiosity, and it's made an interesting measurement, again, very detailed measurements of the composition of the Martian atmosphere, its isotopes, and they've been able to, by looking at isotopes of the element argon, match that to what we see in little bubbles in some meteorites on the Earth. And this helps us know that these meteorites that we find on the Earth are from – we have some that are from Mars, which has been known for a while. But
yeah,
this,
I kind of wondered about that. How do we know when you get a meteorite and we hear it's from Mars? So this is almost a footprint or a signature of mm-hmm. A meteorite origin from Mars.
Right. Because when the rock formed, in some cases it trapped some of the atmosphere there. And when it comes to the Earth, we can analyze the air that's in that little tiny bubble and compare it now directly with the Martian atmosphere. There's another Mars mission that's getting ready to launch next at the very beginning of November, and that is India's first mission to Mars, which will be an orbiter. And It'll be their first attempt to go beyond the Earth-Moon system.
You know, that brings up an interesting question about other countries and space programs. We don't hear a lot of, like, don't hear about an Indian mission, but quite a few countries have space programs, correct?
That is correct. And China is really coming up in a very big way. Beginning of December, they're going to be launching their Chang'e 3 to the moon, and it's going to land and deploy a rover. The lander, it has a footprint almost as big as the limb that when the Apollo astronauts went down to the surface of the moon. Mm-hmm. This is a big piece of equipment that they're landing down there, and then they got a little rover on top that's go off. But they're doing this also to, you know, because they got longer term plans for the moon. They're going to be sending another rover there, I think within the year or within a year, and their plan is to send people to the moon as well.
How is the Russian space program coming? It's kind of iffy, isn't it?
Yeah, but they've had some bad luck. They lost a lot of their experience. In the transition from the Soviet Union to Russia, and they've had some unfortunate accidents with some of their launch vehicles, and the Phobos Grunt mission, which failed, and that was actually carrying a Chinese Martian mission.
So it's struggling.
It's been struggling. Yeah.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us from the Planetary Science Institute here in Tucson. Another space headline that caught my interest, and I was going to ask you about it. A new asteroid points to habitable exoplanets. Did you hear about this? This is GD61. Scientists spotted the remains of what they call a water-rich asteroid orbiting a dying star about 170 light years from Earth. It's more than a bit of space waste. The find suggests that this far-off solar system may have once had planets capable of supporting life. So my question for you is, how in the world would we know that this was once a water-rich asteroid?
I'm thinking that they're seeing some debris, around the star that has evidence of water associated with it.
Seeing like, oh, that looks.
They're
like
not seeing
a
an asteroid. Yeah, no. Well, there's a lot of in our own solar system. Yeah. We have a lot of water-rich asteroids. Right. They're in the water's in the form of clays. You know, where the water's combined with the minerals. And there's, you know, there may be a significant fraction of the near Earth objects that asteroids that orbit near the Earth may be similarly water rich and may offer the promise of future resources for our for human uses in space.
Mining of asteroids.
I mean, water is the most valuable substance out there in terms of what you use out there, you know, so you could mine it, extract it, and use it for fuel, for life support, and for radiation shielding.
How is Comet Ison doing? This is supposed to be, it's been billed as the comet of the century. Granted, this particular century we are in is only, 13, 14 years old, but it's kind of a marquee Comet Ison supposedly will be, looking so good that even perhaps daytime viewing.
That would be spectacular. Yeah. I mean, I would absolutely, you know, I hate when people use terms like comet of the century, because the last one in my experience was Kohoutek in the 70s, and that ended up being kind of a dud. But one of our scientists,
one of your astronomers,
Was making some observations of it with Hubble and has determined that the pole orientation is such that he's saying that there's a very good chance that when it goes around the sun through perihelion, where it's going to be getting very close to the sun, that it has a good chance of surviving and not just breaking up into, you know, thousands of fragments.
Because I guess that routinely, that's very pretty common.
Yes,
will kind of be destroyed.
Well, if it gets real close to the sun, yeah, that does happen. But
if any of us get too close,
it's a bad day.
Yes.
But so this comet will be coming back, and then in after Thanksgiving and into December, then hopefully it's going to be a very dramatic sight in the sky. So I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure seeing you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
For more information about the Planetary Science Institute, it is easy to find, psi.edu. Got it right. There you go. Thanks, Mark. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, a great sponsor of the Buckmaster Show, and they encourage, and I encourage you as well, a great getaway for a wonderful weekend. Autumn, the colors of autumn, really at their peak now over in the Gila Wilderness area. It's so beautiful over there, very green, very good color, 15 degrees cooler, only three and a half hours east of Tucson to a really lovely environment. Explore historic Silver City in Grant County. For more, visit their website, which is very easy to find, Southwest New Mexico, spelled out, .org. Great places to stay, including Little Toad Creek Inn and Casitas de Gila. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show, provided by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple Culligan, for all your year-round residential, commercial water needs. And, of course, Culligan, thank you. All of our in-studio guests are provided with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. John C. Scott this afternoon, 3 to 5. Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning, 6 to 8. My name is Bill Buckmaster. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.